6:30 UTC, 7:30 p.m. in Zimbabwe, on Friday, April 11th, 2014. This is Ndimyake Mwakalielie.
And I'm Chris Gande.
In our top stories... Here are top stories this evening.
The government has issued a three-week ultimatum to about 4,000 Chitungwiza and Manyame Rural District Council residents, ordering them to destroy all illegally constructed houses.
Political parties have welcomed Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa's move to adjourn the second reading of the Electoral Amendment Bill in Parliament until public consultations are made. And a body that represents civil servants say it is happy that the government has started paying civil servants' salaries back dating to January this year.
The minister advised the council and the whole people who got the government balance to break their houses themselves. After all, they break their houses, they will go back to the council for reallocation.
A government has issued a three-week ultimatum to about 4,000 Chitungwiza and Manyame Rural District Council residents, ordering them to destroy all illegally constructed houses. The houses in question are those built on wetlands under sewer pipes and power lines, and others are still under construction. The government says the houses were constructed in undesignated sites by some owners who paid varying amounts of money to land developers. A Chitungwiza magistrate last Friday issued a provisional order barring the local authority from proceeding with the planned demolitions, also being deemed unsafe. The magistrate gave the council up to February 27th to respond, failure of which the court would issue a final order. Chitungwiza mayor says local government minister Ignatius Chombo is not going back on this issue. Mutoti says the government will allocate the affected families' tents in Nyatsime, which are not yet serviced.
The minister advised the council and the whole people who have got tents from government balance to break their houses themselves. After all, they break their houses, they will go back to the council for reallocation.
Where are they being relocated to?
The minister has given us a farm, Tinota farm. So these people will be allocated at the Tinota farm.
Is it serviced? Is the land serviced?
The farm is not yet serviced.
So how are people going to stay on that farm when they don't have any services?
That one is really a lot because the directive from the minister.
So what role are you going to play in this? What role are you going to play in all this? Who is going to do the demolitions after 3 weeks? Is it the council police or the ZRP?
Police, the ZRP and the army gonna demolish. Yes, but the government will charge. We charge a fee. If someone doesn't demolish his house, the government is going to charge. Then the police and the army will demolish it.
That was Chitungwiza Mayor Philip Mutoti speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
Political parties have welcomed Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa's move yesterday to adjourn the second reading of the Electoral Amendment Bill in Parliament until public consultations were made. Mnangagwa was responding to a request by Southerton legislator Gift Chimanikire that the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Legal and Parliamentary Affairs should make consultations before the National Assembly passed the bill. The MDCT opposes the bill, saying some proposed changes were not incorporated in line with the new constitution. The changes include issues surrounding voter education, voter registration, the use of voting slips, allowing prisoners to vote, and the involvement of the Register General in the voting process. Ellen Shiriedenga, Director of Elections in the Welshman Ngube-led MDC, tells Studio 7's Standikile Mthlanga that the consultations should be fairly conducted to ensure all stakeholders participate.
If I can take, for instance, in 2013, when the Electoral Act was amended, we had a situation whereby even ZEC invited all political parties to a meeting where the political parties were appraised with regards to the proposed amendments. And the political parties, they also made their inputs. In that regard, it makes sense that the public should be consulted. And even just going right around the country, getting the public opinion, and for them to just fast-track it into law, surely it doesn't make any sense. And there's always going to be a lot of discord. And considering that there are lots of issues that this proposed act needs to address. But I don't think it's too late. The issues that were proposed during the public consultations with regards to the Constitution, it seems as though they are not being effected.
Which amendments does your party consider as very crucial, which should be effected into this bill?
For instance, we talk about the role of the Registrar General's Office with regards to voter registration in the voters' roll. We had proposed clearly that role should be that of the Electoral Commission, but it seems as though in this act, that is not done.
Ellen Shiriedenga, Director of Elections in the MDC formation led by Professor Welshman Ngube, on the line from Harare.
Zimbabwe celebrates its 34th independence anniversary Friday, April 18th. Studio 7 invites you to share your thoughts on the day. What does this day mean to you? Send us your number and where you are, and we'll call you back to record your thoughts. Or you can even send us an audio message through WhatsApp. Our number is 1-202-577-5835. Again, that number is 1-202-577-5835. Listen out for your message in your voice on Studio 7 starting Monday. Congratulations, Zimbabwe, at 34.
A body that represents civil servants says it is happy that the government has started paying civil servants' salaries back dating to January this year. The Apex Council, comprising various organizations representing civil servants, says this is an indication that the government is sticking to an earlier agreement reached between state representatives and public servants. Members of the uniformed forces started receiving their salaries this week with the promised salaries and allowances. Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, Labour Minister Nicholas Goche, and President Robert Mugabe assured civil servants that they will get their hiked salaries in April. The lowest paid civil servants will now be getting $375 a month, up from $297, while the lowest paid teacher will now get $500, up from $446 a month. Apex Council Chairman Richard Gundane says they welcome this development.
Some of our colleagues who work in the uniformed forces have started getting this backdated increment. So everybody is now awaiting, those in education, in the rest of the civil service, and in other parts of government, awaiting their pay days eagerly and expecting to be treated in the same manner. Sometimes it has happened that some sectors have been paid, while others yet not been paid in the same month. But we want to believe that this time around, every increment is going to be paid within the month of April, and this is a welcome development. What will remain for us to do at the negotiating table is for us to sit down with government and start preparing for a mid-term review, because we have not yet achieved 100% of the poverty datum line. What we achieved was 3/4 of the poverty datum line. What this means in simple language is that the least paid worker in government is now earning 3/4 of the poverty datum line. And yet, according to the agreement, we agreed that the least paid worker in government should earn a salary and allowances put together, which affected the level of the poverty bottom line. So preparations are now underway so that by the time we get to the middle of the year for a mid-term review, everything will be set. We do understand that it will depend on the performance of the economy, but we also want to implore government to do everything possible so that we attain the poverty bottom line salary before we get to the end of the year.
And that was Apex Council Chairman Richard Gundane in Gweru with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Factionalism is intensifying in the ruling ZANU-PF party ahead of next year's elective Congress, crucial in the party's succession battle. The battle is pitting Vice President Joyce Mujuru and Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa. The provisional ZANU-PF executive in Mashingo has defied a Politburo order to rerun regional elections, which they claim were fraught with irregularities. The Mujuru camp, which is running the province, is reportedly not willing to hold the polls again. ZANU-PF spokesperson Rugare Gumbo speaks with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu about this and related issues.
My understanding is that Mashingo really doesn't have a serious problem in the sense that out of 8 constituencies, only one had a problem, which was Mashingo Central, where Edison Zoho Jr. had been allocated a position as Secretary for Legal Affairs. And yet, the position that was for Mashingo Central was only for one post. But they erroneously made a mistake and taken Zoho to take over as the Secretary for Legal Affairs. However, the situation was rectified. They examined the posts which were allocated to Mashingo Central as well as Mashingo West. Mashingo had 2 positions. Therefore, they decided that Zoho should be dropped and a guy from Mashingo West should take his position. And entire leadership, the Politburo Central Committee, everyone agreed that that should be the case. And so there is really no problem in Mashingo, as far as I know.
But, Mr. Gumbo, there are some who are saying maybe the problem in Mashingo is that of factionalism, with some allegedly backing the Vice President, Amai Mujuru, and others backing Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa.
Well, I really don't know. I said time and again that I don't understand how you say Amai Mujuru leads a faction when she is the Vice President of the party. She's also Vice President of the country. As we are talking right now, she's the current acting President of the country. So how does she lead the faction if she works with the President and so on and so on?
ZANU-PF spokesperson Rugare Gumbo. Blessing Zulu also spoke with Gutu South lawmaker Shuai Mahofa about alleged factionalism in Mashingo province, which is ravaging ZANU-PF.
No, that is not true. We are waiting for the party commissar to come and have elections with the inter-provincial district people to choose positions of those members who has won in the basket.
So the problem has not been resolved. Yes. You are still waiting for Mr. Shamu?
No, we are waiting for Mr. Shamu, and those minutes are those which are in the police bureau, which he was instructed by the president. So we Mashingo people are waiting. I cannot say what I have not seen.
But some are saying there's a lot of factionalism in the province, which has nothing to do with the elections. They are throwing names Mr. Mnangagwa and Maim Juru.
No, I don't want to talk about that. I don't know. What we want is they should come and do according their own party circular, which says members elected in the basket must then go to the provincial inter-district, and the chairpersons of district will come and elect them on positions. Full stop.
That was ZANU-PF's Gutu South Member of Parliament Shuai Mahofa speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
Expelled MDCT members claim that party leader Morgan Tsvangirai is already manipulating the party's voters' roll in his favor ahead of the Labour-backed party's elective Congress expected to be held sometime next year. Our correspondent reports from the capital, Harare.
Addressing a news conference in the capital Friday, Jacob Mafume, the spokesperson of those calling for leadership renewal in the MDCT, described their expulsion yesterday as null and void.
You do not just wake up without an agenda item, then suddenly say you have expelled somebody from the party. That is bedded law, and as such, we do not consider ourselves expelled.
The MDCT Supreme Decision-Making Body between Congresses, the National Council, met and resolved to expel its then-suspended Treasurer General, Elton Mangoma, National Executive Members Last Mayenge Hama and Jacob Mafume, and General Secretary of the Youth Assembly, Promise Mukwananzi, for bringing the name of the opposition party into disrepute. Mafume, who claimed Tsvangirai was damaging his legacy by clinging to power, accused the former Prime Minister of using suspension and expulsion of office bearers as a tactic to manipulate the party's voters' roll in his favor ahead of the MDCT's elective congress that party spokesperson Douglas Monzora says may be held early next year if resources are available.
What Tsvangirai and his team are doing in intimidating and paging party members is for them to lay the ground in order to manipulate the voters' roll ahead of the coming Congress. You do not ask people to contest you and proceed to expel all those that show any signs that they are willing to challenge you at a Congress. It is oxymoronic.
Mafume said they will continue interacting with the opposition structures despite their expulsion, which they described as a court summary expulsion that fly in the face of natural justice. Mafume said they should have been afforded an opportunity to defend themselves. Mafume aptly confirmed that former Finance Minister Tendai Biti is in their camp. Biti has not been talking much about the renewal issue, but once described Mangoma's suspension as voidable.
Tendai Biti has spoken. I don't know if people want him to repeat and repeat and repeat again. But he has spoken. He clearly says we are veering away from the purpose where we have been targeted.
Monzora told Studio 7 by phone that his party no longer has anything to do with Mangoma, Mafume, Mukwananzi, and Mayenge Hama following their expulsion. Tsvangirai says he will remain at the helm of the MDC until a congress has been held. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Zimbabwe celebrates its 34th independence anniversary Friday, April 18th. Studio 7 invites you to share your thoughts on the day. Send us your number and where you are and we'll call you back to record your thoughts. You can also send us a WhatsApp audio sharing your thoughts. Our number is 001-202-577-5835. Our number again, 001-202-577-5835. Or post a message on our Facebook page or send us an email to studio7@voanews.com. Listen out for your message in your voice on Monday. Congratulations, Zimbabwe at 34.
Don't miss out tomorrow's show in which Studio 7's Gibbs Dube speaks with MDC leader, at least the leader of one of the formations of the MDC, Professor Welsh Mengube, who says the opposition in Zimbabwe should form a coalition before the 2018 national elections. But Mengube, who is facing a lot of defections from his party, is ruling out that former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai as the leader of that coalition.
If you find that ideologically, if you find that in terms of values and principles, you sit uncomfortably, you sit uneasily in a political party, you leave. If you cannot be a follower, you can never be a good leader.
Do you see any opposition leader that will actually remove President Mugabe from power in 2018?
It depends what we do together, collectively, between now and then. And I say it doesn't matter who it is. If each one of us are fighting from our leaky corner, we get nowhere. If we are able to put forward a candidate as the opposition, a candidate of a united front, I have no doubt in my mind that candidate can and will the next election in Zimbabwe.
Talking about that candidate, who is it? Is it Professor Ncube or Mr. Tsvangirai?
I regret to say I do not classify Mr. Tsvangirai in that category.
Don't miss out more of that interview tomorrow at 7:20 p.m. For more details, you can also visit us on Facebook.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We're broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318. Coming up,
a prominent Zimbabwean author dies.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Testimony in the Oscar Pistorius trial has wrapped up for the week, with the South African runner fending off more claims that he intentionally shot his girlfriend. Pistorius spent his fifth day on the witness stand, being cross-examined by prosecutor Gary Nell, who questioned the athlete's reasons for firing through a locked bathroom door in his Pretoria home. The trial, which has drawn worldwide interest, continues Monday. If convicted, Pistorius faces up to life in prison. Pistorius is known as the Blade Runner for his carbon fiber prosthetic legs. He has won many Paralympic Games medals and was the first double amputee to compete at the Olympics in the 2012 London Games.
Australian authorities say they are confident that underwater signals detected in the search for the missing Malaysian jetliner are from the plane's black box recorders. Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott told reporters in Shanghai today that search crews are looking for the plane have narrowed down that patch of Indian Ocean where they are searching for the sounds.
And finally, the Central African Republic's government says UN authorization of a nearly 12,000-member peacekeeping force is a good start, but it questions the timing of the mission. Spokeswoman Gisele Bedon says she's worried about the September 15th deployment date for the UN forces. In a VOA interview, she expressed concern that the start date for the deployment to the violence-plagued CAR is too far away. On Thursday, the UN Security Council unanimously agreed to send 10,000 soldiers and 1,800 police to the CAR in a bid to end interreligious violence that has left thousands dead and forced 1 million people to flee their homes.
The director of the National Arts Council, Elvis Marie, says Zimbabwe has lost one of the country's most renowned female writers, Sharai Mukonoweshuro, that will leave a gap which will be difficult to fill. The 74-year-old Mukonoweshuro succumbed to cancer and was laid to rest at Glen Forest Wednesday. She's well known for her books, some of which were written before independence. Some of the books include Ndakaku Tadzirei, Agafura Tidzwa Moyo and Ndaka Gara Ndazwiwona, written in 1990. Some of the books were used as set books for ordinary level examinations. Mukonoweshuro is survived by her husband David, 6 children and 14 grandchildren. He speaks to Studio 7 about his late wife.
I personally interacted with her when I was working for the Literature Bureau between 1990 and 1997. But the caliber of Mrs. Mukonoweshuro was such that they were now very senior writers who ordinarily, when they came to the Literature Bureau, they would be attended to by very senior editorial officers like the late Chiromo, the late Mnjanja, Mr. Tafa, and the late Chisike. But our experience of her, she was an unassuming writer, senior woman writer, some of the first writers in the realm of the Smangos, the Mkangaduras, and others who had dedicated their lives to writing. And I think they did take their writing very seriously and were committed, not because of the money, but because they believed in sharing their experiences with the young Zimbabweans who were growing up, especially at the time that they wrote their books. Some of their books they wrote before independence.
What legacy do you see the late Amai Mukoneweshuro leaving, especially for young women that are aspiring to be writers?
I think the legacy is that of living what you live and what you think during your time in writing.
That was the late Sharai Mukoneweshuro's husband, David, speaking with Studio 7. New scientific tests suggest a fragment of papyrus in which Jesus Christ speaks of his wife is more likely an ancient document than a forgery. According to an article published by the Harvard Theological Review, the text, written in Coptic and roughly the size of a business card, specifically contains the phrase, quote, "Jesus said to them, my wife." Karen King, a Harvard professor of divinity, says the papyrus probably dates to 8th century Egypt based on radiocarbon dating and tests on the ink's chemical composition. King says the fragment doesn't prove that the historical Jesus was actually married.
Zimbabwe celebrates its 34th independence anniversary Friday, April 18th. Studio 7 invites you to share your thoughts on the day. Message us on WhatsApp and send us your number and where you are. Or you can even send us an audio message with your thoughts. Use the number 1-202-577-5835 or post a message on our Facebook or send us an email to studio7@voanews.com. Listen out for your message in your voice on Studio 7 starting Monday. Congratulations, Zimbabwe, at 34.
And finally, in sports news, in the Premier Soccer League this weekend, FC Platinum takes on Wange. How Mine will clash with neighbors Bantu Rovers and Harare City versus Caps United. On Sunday, Triangle United will clash with Chiredzi. Bulawayo Giants Highlanders take on Shabani Mines. Dynamos versus Kariba. Black Rhinos will face Chapungu United. And Dehanos Buffaloes will try their luck against the Chicken Inn. And in the UEFA Champions League, Chelsea versus Athletic Madrid, while Real Madrid takes on Bayern Munich. For more details, visit us on Facebook.
What had been billed to be a year of celebration for football fans and business operators in the border town of Kariba has turned into a nightmare as the recently promoted Premier Soccer League club cannot fully utilize its home advantage to lift the coveted Zimbabwe soccer title. More from Michael Cariati.
Last year, wild scenes of celebration gripped the town after the PP Kariba Football Club won the Northern Region Division 1 Championship, earning themselves promotion into the top-flight football league, the Premier Soccer League. The local residents saw the promotion of the club into the Premiership stable as they tend to see a growth in all forms of business due to the influx of football fans from different parts of the country who are expected to throng the town to cheer their team. Kariba resident, Ibarashi Matono, celebrated the team's promotion and saw it as an avenue that would see teaching business blossom and set drivers and accommodation facilities making more money than in the past.
We know that Peter Malogis, guys, taxis, guys,
To his colleague Peter Shumba, the promotion of the team meant the chance to watch top flight football action, especially the likes of Dynamos and Islanders, while at the same time supporting his own home team to survive relegation. All that celebration has turned to despair after the Zimbabwe Football Association Grounds Committee declared that Nyamunga Stadium is not fit for Premiership football. The club has been forced to relocate to an alternative venue, and Premier Soccer League Chief Executive Officer Kenan Delele says that PC Kariba are not allowed to use Nyamunga Stadium until it has been renovated.
Thanks, Michael. That's all we have for you tonight. But before we go, just a quick reminder to listeners to when we have our discussion today with experts and listeners on Live Talk.